We'll try that again. Anybody grateful for Jesus on today? I'm grateful for him. Grateful for his presence. The reality is he don't have to.
Come on now.
He chooses to. Amen?
Amen.
I know sometimes we can think that God is obligated by us, but he is not. So every time we get an opportunity to give God praise, we just ought to. Amen? We just ought to. It's my privilege to stand before you as always. I'm grateful for deacons and ministers, all of the great members of the Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you so much. Are y'all ready for the word of the Lord? So get those notebooks out. We got work to do. Get those pens, scribble on the side of your paper, make sure your pen writes. Make sure your pen writes. All right, so, hey y'all. Hey. Y'all look nice back then, y'all red. It looks beautiful in the sanctuary. Give the decorating committee a hand. Doesn't it look beautiful in the sanctuary? We are in the midst of the holiday season. And in the midst of the holiday season, traffic getting funny. Sale signs are popping up everywhere. Some of us are drawn in because, you know, that extra 40% off can make you, you know. Some are trying to work their budgets, get their gift money together, work your travel plan so you can see your loved ones. But in this Advent season, a season the church should cherish, I want to draw our attention to a portion of the birth narrative. I'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. Now, as you guys are turning there, let me say a couple of things. Number one, just so I can do some myth dispelling, I know that Jesus was not born in December. I know. Jesus, most likely, by all intents and purposes, was born around the same time of year that he passed. He has a spring resurrection, and he has a spring birth. I also know that the scripture don't say nothing about no three wise men. Somebody's like, no, it's not in there. Search all you want. It says the wise men. We got three from the nativity scenes. It ain't in there neither. I know. The more you look, we think that Jesus was born in a barn because his family was broke. That ain't in there either. The Bible says that he got to the hotel, but they were sold out. King James language, there was no room in the inn. Doesn't mean that Joseph didn't have the money to pay. It just meant they was full. And I also know that consumerism is often the ruling mindset of the day. Yet that don't mean that we shouldn't be focused on Jesus, the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth. So the term Advent, as you just heard mentioned, the term Advent, I know we don't use it a lot in church. I know I didn't grow up using it at all. It means arrival. And if we're to do a study on the prophecies that spoke about the arrival of Jesus, we'd come to understand by the time we get to the New Testament, they've been waiting for Jesus a long time. It's not like Jesus popped up and they was like, who this? They've been waiting on this guy. Now, I didn't give the media team this verse, and they may not have any of my verses today. That's all right. Y'all got paper Bibles. And Isaiah, we see, and we know this verse, chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulder. King James, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Verse 6-7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Truth be told, if you were to go back in a few chapters, you don't have to turn there and look at the 7th chapter. Just put it in your notes around the 14th verse. It actually said that a virgin will give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel. But by the time I get to the New Testament, I don't think that this is what they was expecting. When I hear things like the government gonna be on his shoulders, I'm sure that they were thinking it was gonna be something different than a baby in a manger. So as we examine the text today, it's not so much, people of God, that I wanna deal with the virgin birth, but I wanna specifically deal with one character in the story, Joseph. And I want to talk about how he responded to the voice of the Lord. So in your notes, please write down, if you are heading your paper for today, responding to the voice of the Lord. Responding to the voice of the Lord. So now we got the prophecy in Isaiah, and then we come to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, Matthew is an interesting gospel because it has this genealogy that kind of gets us ready. And by the time we get to verse 18, it says this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, ooh, I love the way that reads. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. She will bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, we find ourselves in situations, maybe it's just me. Have any of you ever found yourself in a situation where you were like, Lord, I'm going to need you to make this a little bit more clear for me? Maybe it's just me. Come, show of hands. Lord, make it a little bit more clear. Could you send me a note? Could you write it down on a sheet of paper? Because, you know, Lord, I'm not really sure what it is you're trying to do. And so when we find ourselves, Reverend Easton, Reverend Jackson, when we find ourselves where it's like God is trying to speak to us, but we're not clear on what God is saying, we got a couple things we could do. Number one, I can ignore it. Don't. Jonah tried that. It didn't work out very well at all. Number two, I could attempt to modify it. You know, Lord, I know you said this, but I feel like doing that. Don't. Eve tried that. That didn't work out too good for her either. Or we can embrace the word of God. And that's where we should be consistently. But what I have found, people of God, is how I respond to the word really is determined by if I think the word makes sense. Because we intellectuals, you know, we done got smart. We done read a couple books, and we know a couple things. So when God go to speaking, we like, Lord, that don't make sense. It don't jive with my logic. It don't make no sense with what I want to do. God, I took a class on this, and the professor said, God's like, I don't care nothing about that professor. In my master's program, I remember I had a professor tell me, there is no way, no way whatsoever that the Gospel of John should be in the Bible. Then they told me I needed to remove John, I needed to get Esther out of there, I needed to add a couple books to the end of Psalms. Then they told me that Moses didn't have nothing to do with writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They don't know who wrote that. Take all of that out. It wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And I looked at all of them and said, all y'all crazy. Because sometimes just because you've read a lot don't mean you know a lot. I'm just saying. And so sometimes, watch this, with all, I love books. I believe, I'm a lifelong learner for all of my teachers. I believe in lifelong learning. I've taught in the classroom. I've done these things. I believe in it. Yes, it's wonderful. But watch this, we can't leave out, as my wife would say, the God factor. You can't overlook the Holy Ghost, right? And sometimes God will say, I know you've never seen a bush burn. So what we do is we reject the word of God when the word don't make sense. So for many of us, let's just be honest. I know y'all looking at me real funny in this Easter season. It don't make a whole lot of sense, some of the things God want us to do. And so we resist. It's human nature, actually, to resist things that don't make sense. But that doesn't mean, just because it's human nature, don't mean it's godly. Look back at Matthew 1, verse 18. Look at the verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother, Mary, is betrothed, I'll use the word engaged, to Joseph before they came together. Now, here's the way this was supposed to work. You got engaged, and you didn't consummate the marriage through any level of intimacy until after you were married. The man went, found the woman, asked her father how much it was going to cost. He went, gathered up the dowry, went and built a house, came back, got her, had the ceremony, then they were intimate. I know, never mind. That's the way it worked. They engaged. No intimacy has taken place at all. And the Bible says before they came together, that would have been the intimacy, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Psst, that don't make sense. Who got you pregnant? See, we have the benefit of reading backwards into the text because we know who the Holy Ghost is, but they didn't. See, we're told at the start of our narrative that Mary is pregnant, Joseph didn't do it, but neither did any other man. That don't make sense. We're also told that she's a virgin, but she's pregnant, and that also don't make sense. There is no other virgin birth in all the Bible. So she's like, I ain't been with no man. I ain't been with you. I ain't been with nobody. I'm still a virgin and I'm pregnant. That don't make sense. Watch this. And they're told that it's by the Holy Ghost. Who's that? See, come on now. We have the benefit of reading backwards into the text. The Holy Ghost hasn't fallen yet. There has been no baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus has not even been baptized, so they haven't heard, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. They don't know what the Holy Ghost is like that. The Holy Ghost doesn't pour out on all flesh until Acts chapter 2. We in Matthew chapter 1, and here it is. I got Mary talking about, I'm pregnant. You didn't do it. No man did it, and the Holy Ghost did it. And Joseph is like, who's that? When did it happen? Don't none of this make sense. And that's how we are. When God tells us to do stuff, and we looking around like, that don't make sense. See, y'all, I know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that sometime when God tell you to do some things, you got to have some conversation with God. Hey, God, it's me again. See, y'all. That's the way I pray to God. Lord, excuse me. I know we just talked a few minutes ago. It's me again. This don't make sense. Joseph decides, well, because of his own righteousness, the Bible says. He's a righteous man. He decides, Reverend Allen, he just going to call the whole wedding off. Now, let's go with this. Deacon Beasley, according to the law, he could have stoned her. Because according to the law, if a woman who said she was a virgin, got found out not to be a virgin, they were allowed to stone her. So according to the law, Joseph could have stoned her and ruined her reputation. Instead, he said, I ain't gonna do none of that. I'm righteous. I'm just gonna call the wedding off, because don't none of this make sense. But there's something going on inside of him. Lord, I'm trying to take my time. There's something going on inside of him. He's like, let me step back and see, because it don't make sense, but it just might be God. See, there's sometimes where people of God don't rush to reject what don't make sense. I'm talking about responding to the voice of the Lord. Don't rush, because the whole story would have been different if it went something like this. I'm pregnant, stone her. The whole story would have been different. Now, Jesus was going to be born. I have no idea what God would have done. And the earth swallowed up Joseph. I don't know. But what I do know is there was something within him, just like it has to be within us, that says, God, even when it don't make sense, I won't move until you speak. Even when it don't make sense, I'm not going to reject it because it don't make sense, because it could make perfect sense to you. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. The Bible says his ways are higher. Now, the word higher does not mean more complicated. That's not what the word means. The word higher means to a greater degree. In other words, I'll put it to you like this. God knows stuff I don't know and that I never will know. Therefore, when he makes a decision, he's making that decision with information that I ain't got access to. My authorization don't get me to the place that I need to go. So when God says, this is what I want you to do, don't you be trying to argue with God, because he got access to data that you ain't got access to do. Your little authorization don't get you into that mainframe. Look at verse 20. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. When he had considered, behold. When he had considered. Pay attention to the way it goes. I gotta get myself quiet before God go to speaking. Lord, the angel didn't bust in. He said, let me slow down. And the Lord starts speaking. Joseph, son of David, well, you know me. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He still don't know what that is. Please understand, we can see throughout the scripture that oftentimes when the Lord is trying to do something great at face value, it don't make sense. Matter of fact, I was sitting there, and as I was preparing the word of God for you today, Tabernacle, I start thinking just a few things that just didn't make sense. God told Abraham to leave his country and his kindred, go to a place that he would show him. That don't make sense. God told the people who had never seen rain to build a boat almost 2 football fields big. That don't make sense. God told the children of Israel to place blood of the best sacrifice over the post of the door and stay inside and everything be all right. That don't make no sense. God told the children of Israel to go toward the Red Sea while they're fleeing an army. That don't make sense. God, through the prophet, tells a man to go dip in a dirty Jordan River 7 times and he come out clean. That don't make sense. God tells David with no armor and with a terrified army around him to go with a rock on his lunch break and go get a giant. That don't make sense. The prophet Gehazi is told by his master to go lay a staff on a dead child and that was going to bring her back. That don't make no sense. Jesus told 5,000 people to sit down and he only had a little boy's lunch of 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. That don't make no sense. Jesus asked the people to roll the stone away over a man who had been dead for 3 days and stinking. That don't make sense. Jesus tells the disciples to cast their net on the other side of a boat after they had been out all night as professional fishermen and caught nothing. That don't make no sense. Jesus also willfully and with very few words went up to the cross for a bunch of people who didn't even like him to die for your sins and mine. That don't make
no sense. Jesus gets off the throne as fully man and fully God, puts himself into an embryo, it places himself inside of a virgin, goes through life, is born, goes up into the temple, becomes a carpenter, goes into the temple at 12 years old, don't say nothing until he's 30, and then does more in 3 years than many of us do in a lifetime. That don't make sense. 120 people gathered in the upper room to wait for something they had never even seen before, called the Holy Ghost. That don't make sense. Peter tells a lame beggar, doesn't give him nothing, just tells him, get up and walk. That don't make sense. Jesus used a murderer named Saul to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Lord knows, that don't make no sense. Paul and Silas are in the inner prison in solitary confinement, and they decide to have a prayer meeting and sing some hymns, and then the angel let them out. That don't make sense. So don't tell me when it don't make sense, it don't make God. When there's a word from the Lord, we try to make sense of it. Don't have to make sense. We got to respond to the word of the Lord. Reverend Eason, that's where we struggle. If we're honest in our text for today, we would have been trying to make sense of it. Excuse me, Lord, I've never seen a virgin give birth. Please make sense of that. I'm not talking to you about this. Do what I said. Responding to the voice of the Lord requires four things. And I'll get out of your way. I've only been up here 20 minutes. Responding to the voice of the Lord requires four things. Faith. Courage. Willingness. And sacrifice. I'll do it again. Responding to the voice of the Lord. We're going to learn something from Joseph today. It requires faith, courage, willingness, and sacrifice. But sometimes, you know, sometimes, Pastor, it just don't make no sense. The Bible is full of stuff that don't make no sense. Because I'm telling y'all right now, there's some stuff in the Bible where I would have been like, now, Lord, you're going to have to break this down for me. Make it make sense. So please understand, first thing I got to do when the word of the Lord comes, I got to respond with faith. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the Bible also says this, for we walk by, not by. So watch. The enemy of faith is not fear. Watch it. Hold on. Can I teach a little bit? The enemy of faith is not fear. The enemy of faith is sight. Let it sit. I walk by, not by. I walk by, not by. Okay, so the enemy of faith is not my fears. The enemy of faith is what I can see. Mary, I'm looking at you, and what I see is a woman who telling me that she ain't been with nobody. I can see that. And I see a woman who telling me something about being with the Holy Spirit, whoever that is. I can see that. The enemy of my faith is not what I feel. It's what I can see. See, you can see the balance in your checking account. You can see your credit score. You can see the my chart come back with your blood work numbers. I can see that. So the enemy of my faith is not my fear, it's my sight. Because sometimes what I see, that makes sense. But God, what you say it don't match what I see. And you're asking me to go with what you say it and ignore what I see. God is like, look, there's a lot of times where they saw some stuff. Think about the prophet's servant. He said, we surrounded, we gonna die, we surrounded. Elijah said, it's more of us than it is of them. Now, I don't know what done happened to you, prophet. I love you and everything. Elijah, I love you, I really do. Something done happened, you done fell and hit your head. Because I can see them. Come on. I can see. We're surrounded. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I went outside and there's horses and chariots everywhere. Elijah. More of us than it is of them. One, two. Prophet like, we good. Servant like, one, two. Something wrong with you, man. I just went outside. God says, open his eyes. That's what the prophet said. Open his eyes that he may see. Prophet said, go back outside. Because you were using the wrong set of eyes. He went back outside and he's like, chariots. Fire, horsemen, prophet like. And for some of us, that's where we are. We're going around talking about, I can see this, and the doctor said, and the interest rates, and on my job, and recession, and I'm not going to get a house, and they not going to approve me, and I'm always going to take this medication. God said, what did I say? Come on now. Don't stop believing in a supernatural God because you got natural information. Don't do that, y'all. Everything in this place was based upon a supernatural God. Come on now. I know I got some history around here. Come on now. Everything that was done. I have a Christmas card from when this part of the sanctuary was just built. I got it out of my grandfather's hymn book. My grandfather kept a hymn book of when they built this part of the sanctuary. A Christmas card one year that went out with a photo of this place. I've seen it. I look at it. I keep it around just to show me when I was a young pastor and didn't think I was ever going to be nothing. When I was a young pastor and it was just a few of us around the table in the middle of the Y, I used to look at this card and go, oh, yeah, when you walk by faith. See, this is the same man who told me, he said, you ain't got no money. You ain't got no people. How you going to start a church? And I said to my grandfather, Deacon Bill Dunson, I said, you taught me to have faith. He said, it'll work then. And here it is. I said, over 20 years later, it's been working. And I speak to a group of people. You might have lost your hope. You might have lost your faith. You might have lost your fire, but you better get back in and plug back into a supernatural God. And it don't matter what you see. When you're responding to the word of God, you got to respond with faith. I don't care what it looked like. We're going to keep pressing. I don't care what it feels like. We're going to keep pressing. I don't care what they say. We're going to keep pressing. That's what built this place. That's how you got to this place. And that's how you're going to move forward. I got to respond with faith. Now, here's the thing. He says in that 20th verse, he says when he considered. That word consider is to meditate. That's what the word means. Another place that you see that word is in Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. And then he'll be like a tree planted. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water, whose leaf will not wither. Whatsoever he does will prosper. So wait a minute, you mean to tell me that when I get to meditate, and that word meditate means to mutter. Meditate don't mean to just sit there like this. Meditate means that you start rehearsing the word of God out of your mouth. When you are meditating on the word of God, you're waking up saying stuff like, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging for bread. You're waking up saying stuff like, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. You're waking up saying, if God be for me, who can be against me? When that stuff starts coming out of your mouth, then you begin to experience death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. And before you know it, I don't care what you see, you like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right because there's something within me that tells me everything is going to work out. And so even though I got married, pregnant with the Holy Ghost, who I've never seen, by a man that I've never seen, I don't know nothing about virgin birth, I meditated on that thing, and maybe I should just respond appropriately. But the next thing I got to do is I got to respond with courage. Sometimes it's possible to know what God wants but lack the courage to walk in it. It is possible to know what God wants, but you lack the courage to walk in it. Lord, I know that's you, but I know. Maybe it's just me. Lord, I know you want me to do it. But, notice what the angel tells him. Don't be afraid. Well, I got reason to be afraid. The year was 2007. I had been working for the city for 11 years. I'd worked in government for 11 years. I had been doing pretty well. I was grateful for the job. I had a wife. I had three kids. Everything's going really well. And then God says, quit your job. Jesus Christ. Quit the job and do what exactly? I need you to quit the job and I need you to do ministry. That's all I want you to do. Just do ministry. Oh, Jesus Christ, Lord, have mercy, God. Oh, Lord, I started the church in 2003, and now all of a sudden you want me to quit the job. Jesus Christ. And so I remember like it was yesterday. I quit. I did what God said. I would love to be able to tell y'all some flowery story that the moment that God told me I quit immediately, that is not the way it happened at all. God told me, and I tried to make some sense of it. Yes, I did. And God said, don't, you better quit. So I went in, and I quit. Oh, God. Put all my stuff in a cardboard box and cried all the way to the car. See, I cried, but I knew I had done the right thing. There are times where you got to battle the flesh that don't want to. You got to battle the flesh that don't want to. There's a part of you who's like, this don't make sense. God's like, it does make sense. You got to respond with courage. The angel tells him, don't be afraid. The angel doesn't say, listen, the angel does not say, don't be afraid of what's happening to Mary. That's not what the angel said. The angel said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. In other words, the angel doesn't say, don't worry about it. Mary's going to be fine. That's not what the angel says. The angel says, you join to the miracle. I would have wanted, Reverend Jackson, the prayer to go like this. Lord, this don't make sense. And God come back, Mary will be fine. Go ahead and do what you're going to do. She's going to have a baby. Don't worry about it. No. He said, marry her. Why I got to be involved? So, okay, y'all. What this got to do with me? Come on, study your theology, if you will, whenever you get a chance. Mary is a teenager. Joseph is actually way older than she is. This is why he was likely dead prior to the ministry of Jesus, because he was an older man. So I'm sure Joseph was like, first of all, I'm too old for this. See, what this got to do with me? If whoever this Holy Ghost is, an angel, clearly you know that I'm in the Davidic line, y'all do what y'all gonna do. Leave me out of it. There's a time where God will send you to do work and you'll be trying to get out of it. There's a time where you can be trying to retreat when God is like joined to the miracle. Oh boy. There's a time where you're saying, my time is up, and God is saying, your time is just getting started. There's a time where you're planning your exit strategy, and God is planning your elevation. Oh, there's a time where you're like, wait a minute, how can I do anymore? And God says, wait a minute, I'm going to need you to do a whole lot more. I'm going to need you to stick on in there. I'm going to need you not to give up. I'm going to need you to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'm tired, but God's like, I'm not. I'm weary. I'm not weary either. Come on now. There's some of us right here in this room where you can look at circumstances and situations in your life and you're like, God, when is it going to change? And God is like, come on, let's go another round. Come on, I thought all my fighting was done. He said, we just getting started. God needs us. Let me say this to the Great Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. There is a Titus 2 move that is about to take place in this place. They missed it. I said, there's a Titus 2 that's about to take place. Still, they're still not with me. I said, there's a Titus 2. Excuse me, what do you mean by that? And when you go read Titus 2, it says the older teach the younger. The older men are to teach the younger men. The older women are to teach the younger women. Literally, God is about to send bridge builders into this place. And it's going to create an opportunity where the older can pour into the younger. Otherwise, this next generation is in trouble. Yes, they are. Come on now. These 20-somethings need to hear something from these 70-somethings. These people who just getting married need to hear something from people who've been married 50 years so that they can stay married. Because at this point, we treat marriage as if it is just a gambling thing. Like, well, not lucky enough, I'm out. Come on now. But some of we need people who got some longevity in this thing. Listen, we need your wisdom. We need your voice. We need your strength. You're not done yet. We need you to put in another round. We need the older people to be able to speak truth. We need them. And then younger people, we got to get under the fountain. I understand people think I'm 20. I'm not really. But listen, please hear me. I got 3 kids right there. And my oldest is 23 and my youngest is 20. And I need them to be able to hear some wisdom. But the problem is that the older generation has gotten frustrated and the younger generation has gotten arrogant. And there has to be a bridge builder that can be able to say, listen, this is how you respond when things don't make sense. There's an older generation that knows what it's like to come from nothing and build up stuff. The older generation got to speak to the younger generation. But there has to be a bridge builder who can say when it don't make sense, it's going to work out. It's gonna work out. I know. And y'all like, why is he so passionate? Because if we're gonna make this thing work, if the body of Christ is really gonna be a body, we got to understand we're not individuals. We're one body, many members. We need it. We need it. I need to be able to speak to these older men. I need to be able to pull up at Reverend Jackson's table and say, how did you get over? It's something within him that is still valuable. Hey. I don't care that, well, he moves slow. Yeah, he moves slow because he's been through a lot. And so while I'm still moving swift, let me pull a chair up to your table. You go ahead and move slow. And some of us got to be, I just want to be a bridge, y'all. I just want to be a bridge. I'm grateful that the young people listen to me. And I'm grateful that I'm able to speak to the older people. But y'all, I need y'all to hear me in this place. If we're really going to move forward, you got to respond when God is talking. And when you respond, you cannot discredit your wisdom. Neither can you discredit your youth. But you got to have a bridge. These young people, they ain't talking about nothing. They ain't talking about nothing because we ain't saying nothing to them. These young people crazy. And so were some of us. Our crazy was different. Some of y'all got some 60s crazy. Some of y'all got some 70s crazy. It's some 80s crazy in here. Every generation just got a different crazy. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Y'all know what y'all did. You made it. What you did didn't kill you, thank you, God. What you did didn't take you out of here, thank you, Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, come on, it ain't that we didn't do it. It's that God didn't see fit to let none of these things be. And so you got to pull some of these young people together and say, listen, baby girl, I've been where you've been. The reality is you got caught and I didn't, but I'm going to help you get through this thing. Some of these older men got to say, listen, homeboy, I've been where you've been. And it ain't that I didn't get caught. I got caught. But let me tell you, I've already served my sentence. Let me help you not go where I've been. It's going to take courage, y'all. It's going to take courage for us to get what we got to get to. It's going to take faith, and it's going to take courage, because here it is. We're at the moment, and Jesus is like, I'm trying to show up in this place. I'm trying to show up. There is a Mary about to give birth to a Christ-like move in Tabernacle, but are you going to reject her pregnancy? Are you going to reject the pregnancy of Mary all because it don't make sense? I got to respond with faith. Hallelujah. I got to respond with courage. Yes, Lord. yes, Lord. Then I got to respond with willingness. Old Testament says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. If you're willing and obedient, not just one, willing and, willing and, willing and. Some of y'all say, I did exactly what you told me to do, but you didn't want to do it. In Matthew 1:21, it says, she'll bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. That part got me. I couldn't get past it. Deacon Johnson, I couldn't get past, you shall call his name Jesus. Because I'm like, ain't you asked enough of them? Y'all missed it. I couldn't get past it. I'm like, first of all, my fiance pregnant. I don't know who did it. You ain't answering no question about who this Holy Ghost guy is. When did she meet him? I don't know. When was they together? I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand nothing about this. And now, not only are you telling me to marry her, you telling me what I got to name the kid. I don't even get to pick my own son's name. See, y'all, this don't make sense. I don't even get to pick my own son's name. It's my son is sitting right over there. He's named after me. Thank you, Jesus. But I don't know what I would have done if the Lord would have said, name him James. Who? Who's James? I don't know no Jameses. My name's not James. I don't even get to pick my own son's name. How do you carry my bloodline but not my name? Oh, so what you're telling me is he ain't in my bloodline. Oh. I can't pick his name because I ain't got nothing to do with it. If I give him my name, I'm also giving him my DNA, and none of my DNA is involved because my DNA is impure. The reason I can't be with my wife is because that would make her impure. So I gotta be willing to marry her and still not be with her. Okay, this is the part, Reverend Allen, that we often don't talk about, because he married her and still didn't touch her. It don't make sense. It is vital to note here that Mary and Joseph are going through a lot. Anybody ever felt like you're going through a lot? The angel gives them specific instruction, because if you don't get this instruction right, you're going to mess up the entire scripture. Yeah. Don't you get in here trying to do what you want and mess up stuff that was spoken before you got here. We already told everybody what his name was going to be. So no, you don't get to name him, because if you name him, you're going to name him something outside of the word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, when we start getting involved in God's stuff, we start determining which plan makes sense. Details matter. Details matter, Tabernacle. Details matter. Y'all remember, for those of you who've been here for a long time, remember when them windows used to be green? Am I the only one that remembers when them used to be green? And I remember. They went through a whole lot to decide when they was going to change them from green. Now, to me, it seems like a very simple decision. The green is coming off. We should just replace it. But no, the details matter. Oh. It's not enough to just get past it, to get through it, to push on because, you know, this is easy. So many of you are taking the easy instead of taking the righteous. You gotta respond with willingness. And then here's my last point, and I'm through. Y'all okay? Respond with sacrifice. How much more do I need to give?
Verse 25 says he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. That is a sacrifice. The Old Testament said, what shall I render for all that he has done? There's some sacrifices that need to be made. What are you willing to do in this next round? What are you willing to do? I've done all that I can do. Have you? Or have you done all you want to do? Have you done all you can? Or have you done all you can stomach? Have you done what's required? Or have you done what's comfortable? Have you done what God said? Or have you only done what you felt like? This is the Advent season, and we're preparing for arrival. I would hate for the real arrival to come and we say, I didn't feel like getting the spots and wrinkles out of the church. That is what he said he's coming back for, right? I'm coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle. I would hate for Jesus to come back and say, I didn't feel like getting those spots and wrinkles out of the church. I'm not interested. I don't want to do it. Done enough. I decided I'm going to let them do whatever they want to do. That's not what we got to do. You got to respond to the word. Joseph had to go against convention. He had to go against what he had seen done a million other times. He had to go against all of the norms, all of the things. He had to go against probably some people. Think about what would have happened if Joseph would have went to his family and said, she pregnant. She what? Pregnant. Who did it? Some dude named the Holy Ghost. I never even met the dude. And if his family was anything like Dinah's brothers, Old Testament reference, because Dinah's brothers heard she got raped and they was like, we killing everybody. Her brothers was thugs. They was like, you did what to my sister? Burn the whole thing down. The Bible is a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. So Joseph is sitting here suffering in silence, going through all by himself. But if we're going to respond, I got to respond with faith. I got to respond with courage. I got to respond with willingness. And I got to respond with sacrifice. That's my challenge. Amen. God bless you, Tabernacle. Clap those hands. Give God praise in this place. How many of you learned something from the word of God today? Stand to your feet if you would. Everybody stand to your feet. If there is anybody, the first and the best response that you can make is to respond to Jesus. If there's anybody in this place that does not know him, as the deacons are coming and preparing themselves, if there's anybody here who's like, man, I'd love to know a man who loves me so much that he went through so much just for me. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that an amazing gift? That's an amazing gift. And so as the deacons are here, and I want to pray for you. And if there's anybody in this place that does not know the Lord, this is your moment. This is your time. Where you can come to know him. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you praise. You're good. Your mercy endureth forever. There's none like you in all the earth. Lord, if there's anybody in this place that does not know you, give them the courage to come to you today, that they may come to know that you are the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us, your grace with us, and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap those hands. Give God honor in this place.